So the ongoing battle over inclusive bathrooms in North Carolina, among other places, rivets the attention of observers across the country right now. Our long history of discrimination and violence against transgender and nonconforming people, not so much. How to change that dynamic will be up for discussion when Basic Rights Oregon holds its annual statewide leadership summit in Eugene next week on May 7th. The Oakland-based Transgender Law Center is taking part in the summit and right now in the exchange. The center's executive director, Chris Hayashi, visits by phone. As a public transgender person of color, Chris Hayashi has been a leader in movements for justice and human rights for over a decade. And we are very pleased to welcome Chris to the program right now. Too bad it's the stickiest button. There you are, Chris. Welcome.
Hi, how are you doing? Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. So let's start in broad strokes. What does the Transgender Law Center do or try to do?
The Transgender Law Center is the largest organization in the country advancing the rights of trans and gender nonconforming people through litigation, policy advocacy, public education, and movement building. We work towards a world in which all people of all gender identities and expressions can live safely, freely, and authentically. And we have our main office in Oakland, California, but just last year we also opened up a southern regional office in Atlanta, Georgia.
So how different is the work of the office in Atlanta, Georgia from the work in Oakland, California?
Well, you know, we really are one organization, but as you know, we are seeing a slew of anti-trans legislation across the country, and most recently in some of our southern states, North Carolina, South Carolina, Mississippi.
So you guys are a national organization, and I mean, I understand you must believe in the law if you're a law center, but do you believe that the law as it exists today can work to protect everyone equally?
I'll say this, that in terms of laws protecting the rights of transgender people, that we have been able to make a lot of progress. We have life-saving laws and policies that are gaining momentum across the country, but as we've also seen, there are also these very dangerous, very reactionary bills that would criminalize transgender people simply for using the bathroom. And as a transgender person myself, as someone who's been involved in the movement for some time now, and I'll also say that we are definitely in a really critical moment for the transgender community, one that's exciting and unprecedented as far as the change we're seeing, but we're also in a period where we're seeing devastating loss as well as incredible fierce resistance. You know, the visibility that we've seen in the last few years as far as the visibility of celebrities like Caitlyn Jenner, Laverne Cox, Janet Mock was unthinkable. A few years ago was unthinkable 10 years ago. At the same time that we've seen this incredible upswing in visibility, last year we lost 22 transgender people to murder, the majority of whom were women of color.
Oh, that is so sad. You've touched on some things here. I want to talk about the bathroom bills for a second. Where is this coming from? I mean, 22 transgender women of color murdered last year. Do we see legislation about that? Or was there some kind of a slew of perverted acts in bedroom or in bathrooms that's motivating the national dialogue that we have now?
Well, what we're seeing is that this crisis that we're seeing in this moment is not a new crisis. The reality is that transgender people, particularly transgender women of color and transgender people of color, already face disproportionate rates of violence and discrimination. You know, we are just trying to live our lives. We are part of our communities, our workplaces, and our families. And, you know, we're just trying to go about our day and live our lives like everyone else. And the laws that we're seeing across the country in states like North Carolina, and actually I was just up in Washington State in Seattle, where there is a possible ballot initiative this year. What we're seeing is these attacks on the ability of transgender people to just be able to live our lives like all people and members of community.
You mentioned life-saving laws as an indicator of progress in this very steep uphill work that you're doing. Can you talk about laws that save lives?
Definitely. So, you know, actually in just very recently, there was a major win with the Gavin Grimm case in the Fourth Circuit that made it very clear that under federal law, transgender young people are protected from discrimination under Title IX. And we actually just had a recent win in a case in South Carolina concerning a transgender boy who was being prohibited from using the bathroom that he has used for many, many years. And the school district turned around and they did the right thing, you know, and committed to treating transgender students fairly. And we're really hoping that other schools will take notice of both our case in South Carolina and the Gavin Grimm case. We also have seen on the federal level that it's been made clear that transgender people are protected from discrimination under Title VII. The Transgender Law Center won a groundbreaking case in 2012 where the EEOC said employers cannot discriminate against people because they are transgender. Though I will say at the same time, while we do have these laws and these protections in place and we have had some wins, that the reality is the majority of transgender people really are continuing to struggle to survive on a daily basis. Transgender people face double the rate of unemployment as the general population, with the rates for transgender people of color being up to four times the national unemployment rate.
Wow. We are talking with Chris Hayashi, Executive Director of the Transgender Law Center. You're welcome to join this discussion, 800-838-3760, to join us by phone, or you can email jx@jeffnet.org. Chris, you were just talking about these staggering disproportions in terms of unemployment and sort of things that are symptomatic of alienation and discrimination. Can you talk about how access to health care, for instance, is more difficult or different for transgender and gender nonconforming people?
Yes, definitely. I mean, health care is critical for everyone to be able to live our lives, to be well, and, you know, to just go about our days. And as a transgender person myself, as a transgender man, someone who is very visible and very active and very much aware of what my kind of rights and protections are, I know that I've experienced discrimination from healthcare providers many, many times. You know, the reality is that the majority of transgender people do not have access to the healthcare that we need just to be able to live our lives like all other people.
And when you say, you know, discrimination from healthcare providers, can you tell us a little bit more specifically, like what something that I imagine people might take for granted that for you is a concern anytime you seek health care?
Sure. For example, you know, the first time that my health care as a transgender person was actually covered by my insurance was 2 years ago when I moved to California. The reality is that many transgender people do not have access to the health care that we need just to be able to live our lives on a daily basis. I would also add that transgender people, because we face such high rates of discrimination and harassment, also face high rates of many health issues.
Let's take a call. We've got Vajra in Sunny Valley on the line. Hi, Vajra.
Good morning. I wanted to talk about the definition of gender identity and how this fits in with all of this. I first want to say that it's very difficult to find a way for, I totally agree that trans people should be free from discrimination, from harm, from violence. That's not an issue. But what I see happening is a conflict of interest of civil rights for transgender people conflicting with the rights of women. And I trace it to the definition of gender identity, which is in the federally proposed Equality Act. The term gender identity means the gender-related identity, appearance, mannerisms, or other gender-related characteristics of an individual, regardless of the individual's designated sex at birth. And what's happening is that any man who identifies as a woman does not need hormone or change or transition. By the mere fact of saying, I identify as a woman, I am a woman. And this puts women in a place where gender identity trumps biological sex as a protected category for civil rights.
All right, Bajra, let's get Chris in here to respond. Is the rights of women and the rights of transgender people actually conflict in your mind, Chris?
Is that there?
I'm sorry, Chris, you weren't. I had the wrong button pushed. Could you start over on your response, please?
Sure. Not at all. The fact is, across the country, there are already laws in place to protect women from harm in bathrooms. And it's reassuring to know that there are 17 states and more than 200 cities across the U.S. that ban discrimination against transgender people. And in all those places, this issue that the caller is raising simply has not been an issue. You know, as a transgender man, someone who has lived my life as a man for over 15 years, I know that it just absolutely would not make sense for me to use the woman's restroom.
Right. And I mean, is there any evidence to suggest, I think where Vajra was going with that, that harm, and I don't mean to discount her perspective here, but are there cases of violence against women by transgender people using women's restrooms? Is there any even significant statistical evidence there?
The fact is, it is already illegal to enter a restroom to harm or sexually harass people or invade someone's privacy. Anyone who would try to enter a restroom to harm or harass someone would be and should be held accountable under existing law. It simply is not an issue.
Let's talk about other things that are an issue for transgender people with non-conforming identities of all stripes. One of the big projects for the Transgender Law Center is the detention project. Why are you focused attention there on people who are incarcerated?
Yes, the reality for the transgender community, because we do face such high rates of discrimination, such high rates of unemployment, lack of access to health care, the reality is that means that many transgender people end up in the prison system. And when transgender people are incarcerated, they face incredibly high levels of violence, harassment, and assault. Transgender people are incarcerated at 6 times the rates of the general population.
Wow.
And while a full 47% of Black transgender people have experienced incarceration, and we know that when transgender people are in prisons or jails, the harassment, violence, and assault that transgender people face is just horrific.
So, Chris, we're coming up on our last minute here, but what can you do to help these people and all transgender people who reach out to you?
Yes. I mean, I think that it's critical for transgender people and really all people who believe that discrimination is wrong, believe that transgender people should just be able to live our lives like all people, should speak out against the legislation that's happening across the country as well as in Washington State. And I think it's really critical because this can be a new issue for people. Like, people may not be familiar with transgender people and who we are, to learn about the issues transgender people face, to learn about our communities, our families. I think the work that Basic Rights Oregon is doing across the state of Oregon to really educate the community and for people to really learn about transgender people is critical.
Chris, thanks so much for being here. Chris is Executive Director of the Transgender Law Center based in Oakland, a keynote speaker at the Basic Rights Oregon Statewide Leadership Summit on May 7th. Chris, thanks.
Great. Thank you.